What would you consider as the greatest miracle that is recorded in the Bible? In fact, are there miracles even happening today? And I'd ask, what is a miracle? If I go to Google, interestingly enough, and you key in the word miracle, you know what the first thing is that comes up? The movie Miracle. Okay? The true story of Herb Brooks, the player-turned-coach who led the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team victory over the seemingly invincible Soviet squad. Now, I was old enough to remember that, and it was an essential and an amazing hockey game. It was not a miracle. I'm sorry. Okay? Maybe a miracle on ice. But a definition of miracle is an extraordinary and astonishing happening that is attributed to the presence and action of an ultimate or divine power. It's an effect or extraordinary event in the physical world that surpasses all known human or natural powers and is ascribed to a supernatural cause. A wonder or a marvel. You realize that in the Bible, it takes 4 pages. I won't read them all. There are 164 miracles recorded in the Bible, at least 164. I'm sure there are a few that have been missed here. There are 83 of them in the Old Testament and another 81 in the New. Some of those miracles you can probably remember. Of course, one of the biggest miracles is the creation itself. There's the miracle of the Exodus, the miracle of those 10 plagues. I like one of the plagues of the frogs. You know why that is so cool? Is because the Egyptians had the frog as a god. Okay, and to have frogs inundated all over the place, in their bedrooms, on their floors, in the streets, and everywhere, it was sort of like a slap in the face to their God. It was a miracle. There's the crossing of the Red Sea, the parting of the waves. Interestingly enough, if you look that one up, there are people who say that's impossible, never could have happened. No archaeological evidence that this had ever taken place. Just a myth. But then there's another article that says computer modeling has shown that if the winds are going in exactly the right way, the Red Sea will part. All right? But there was a miracle. That wasn't the only time that water was parted. The Jordan was parted twice. It was done once for Joshua and again for Elisha. There's, of course, Hezekiah being healed. There's the sun that stood still. There's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that we all know were in a fiery furnace and not even a hair on their head was singed. These were all miracles. In the New Testament, water into wine, walking on the Sea of Galilee, 5,000 people being fed with just a few loaves and fishes, and then not much later, another 4,000 get fed on a meager amount of food. There is the other one that I like is when taxes had to be paid and a fish comes up with a coin in its mouth to pay the tax. These are all miracles, amazing miracles that took place. As I said, there's 164 of them that we can find. I'm not going to go through them all, of course. And of course, there's Christ himself and his resurrection and his appearance in front of Mary Magdalene. These are all miracles that have been recorded for our benefit. Are there miracles that happen today? Yes, there are. There are miracles that happen today. I'd like to read you just two short ones. First one is about a gentleman by the name of Ray Steadman. Ray Stedman, as you know, or some of you know, is an author, a preacher, minister, very devout man. I really enjoy his books. Ray Stedman has told the story of a time when he and his wife were driving through Oregon with their little daughter, Susan. She had developed a fever the night before when they were staying in a motel, but it didn't seem very serious. As they drove along, all of a sudden, the little girl went into convulsions. Her eyes turned up, her body began to jerk, and she obviously was in great danger. Stedman's heart clutched. He stopped the car, grabbed Susan, and stumbled across the road to a farmhouse that happened to be visible nearby. It was about 6 a.m, but the frantic father thundered on the door. When the woman appeared, he cried, "My daughter is very sick. She's in convulsions. Do you have a bathtub where we can put her in warm water?" And the lady was so taken aback, she hardly knew what to say. She pushed the front door open, went down the hall, and started running water in the tub. Later, Ray Stedman called the doctor on the phone and arranged to take his daughter to him for an examination. The good news is it all turned out all right. But Stedman never forgot that moment when it looked as though his daughter was going to die. Later, he found out that this farm family had the only bathtub and only phone for miles around. I thought that was a pretty interesting miracle. There's another one which is doesn't sound as dramatic, but it was a miracle as well. This is the story of a believer by the name of Frederick Nolan, who was fleeing from his enemies during a time of persecution in North Africa. Pursued by them over a hill in a valley with no place to hide, he fell exhausted into a wayside cave and expected his enemies to come and find him soon. Awaiting his death, he saw a spider starting to weave a web. Within minutes, that little bug had woven a beautiful web across the mouth of the cave. The pursuers arrived and wondered if Nolan was hiding in there. But on seeing the unbroken and unmangled piece of art, that web, they thought it would have been impossible for him to have entered the cave without dismantling the web. And so they went on, and Nolan escaped. Later on in life, he wrote, "Where God is, a spider's web is like a wall. And where God is not, a wall is like a spider's web." Interesting, huh? Interesting. These are miracles. Miracles in the Bible, miracles that happen to people each and every day. These miracles are there for certain reasons. Miracles are showing God's power in action. They're showing God's power in action for a purpose. To show the power that he does and shows by providing deliverance in the winning of many battles. In the Exodus, he shows healing and raising from the dead miracles to show compassion. He uses power, his power to create miracles to rescue people from deadly and horrible fates. There are miracles that take place for protection. I would say there's a person in this congregation today who could probably say there was a miracle that happened in his life. Jason, that was a miracle that your truck protected you, but it was really God. There are other miracles that we can all probably come to. The power of God's power and these miracles are there to bring people to hearing the gospel. And miracles teach faith. just like a miracle of the walking on water was there to teach faith. But I believe that one of the greatest miracles is the evidence of people who are here in this room today. I believe one of the greatest evidences of all miracles is probably the person who's sitting beside you. The person who's been called by God and born again. The greatest miracle is the power that God used to call me and to call you. To change our hearts and to soften our hearts. To deliver us from the old self and to be reborn and into a new life and a new self. To free us from the bondage of sin and death, which we have prayed about already today. The greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation. The miracle of salvation. It's the power of God to bring salvation to all who believe. It's in the scripture of Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, says Paul, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, for it is first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. You have to almost imagine when Paul wrote this. He was in the Roman Empire at the time. Power was a word that had huge meaning. The Roman power. They were the most powerful nation at the time. Imagine a Jewish tent maker who had become a Christian talking about a carpenter who has been crucified, telling the Romans, the most powerful nation at the time, about Jesus Christ. But he was not ashamed. He was preaching the gospel by the power of God. He had received the miracle of salvation. Paul was talking to a sinful Rome, the one message that had the power to change men and women's hearts, the power to change men and women's lives. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Right. It says that this great miracle of salvation is there and available to you, and that your heart changes and you are justified. This word justified means you are guaranteed eternal life. If we are to be saved, it must be through the faith in Jesus Christ as proclaimed in the gospel. This is the gospel, the announcement of God's power to change a person's heart and mind. It is for all people, no discrimination, no favoritism. You know, in Romans 10, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But it does require some action on our part. We've all read this, I'm sure. We've talked about it already, interestingly enough, in our prayer time today. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive what? You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all. That's everyone, no exception, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call. This miracle of salvation is available to all. It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There is no other way to salvation, and yet it is a gift. It is a gift. It is a miracle that has been given to us. You know, when we studied the book of Luke, we talked about the key verse in the book of Luke was in chapter 19, verse 10. It says, "For the Son of Man to come to seek and save the lost." He wants that miracle to be available to everyone. We are saved by faith, and faith comes from God by His grace. But we must believe in our heart, and that is the miracle. Our hearts are changed. That is the miracle that takes place when the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and softens your heart. I would imagine that any of you who have had this experience know exactly when it took place. The day, maybe the time, the situation, what was happening in your life, the time. Maybe you had been dragged down to the depths of some sort of problem, trauma, depression. Or maybe not. Maybe there was another way of God calling you and that miracle taking place in your life. Do you remember those circumstances? If you haven't, ask for them. Ask for them, because that miracle is available to you. In the book of Titus, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation," the miracle of salvation to all people. And what does it do once we are saved? It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live a life self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. And it's tough in this present age. It is tough. I think it's got to be tough for Simon and Jonah and Jalen, confronted daily by what goes on in this world, things that we probably don't even know or want to know. It says, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. That's what the miracle of salvation will do. We all know Ephesians 2:8. We quote it all the time. We should be reminded by it all the time. For it is by grace that you've been saved. That miracle is a gift. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. You know what's really interesting? People can read the Bible. They can read the stories. They can tell you everything that the Bible says. They will tell you about all the miracles that we just mentioned a few minutes ago. They'll tell you about the Red Sea parting, and they'll tell you about what happened on the cross. But as Voltaire wrote, facts alone, knowing the facts, knowing what was written, irrespective of how well they are presented, will never bring a man to Christ. Amen. The only way that you are brought to Christ is by the power of God. In Ephesians 1, verse 13, it says, "And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit." So here's the next part. This miracle, once it happens, you are sealed. It doesn't have to happen again. It's available to you. You ask. You seek. And God will answer. It takes a miracle. It is the power of God. I was going to read 1 Corinthians 1:23 to 30. I'll read part of it. Starting in verse 26, it says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were. Think of what you were when you were called." What were you like before you were called, basically? Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world, the despised things, and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him, it is because of God, the power of God, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, and redemption. We were talked about redemption again today, which is incredible how this all comes together. The greatest miracle is the salvation by the power of God. This is the gospel. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to bring salvation to all who believe. If for any reason you doubt, then ask for this miracle to happen in your own lives. Call on the name of the Lord. In Psalm 77, it says, your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. He's displayed his miracles all throughout time. We call on the name of the Lord and receive a miracle, the miracle of salvation. I just want to take a little side trip here. I came into the hall a couple of months ago, and there was a little note and this book left on the hall table. The book is called Dear God, Honest Prayers to a God Who Listens. And it was written by, or it is written by, a lady by the name of Bunmi Laditan. Now, you may or may not remember, but Bunmi actually has been to this church 2 or 3 times. She sat in the back corner. And in fact, one day, she came into our parking lot and gave us an offering. She didn't even come into the church that day. Really nice lady. Okay. She writes at the beginning of the book, thank you for being kind to me. Love, Bunmi. I'll read just a little bit on the back about who she is. Bunmi Laditan is an award-winning, web-nominated writer from California who now lives in Quebec. With her family, she has contributed to the New York Times, Parenting, and the Huffington Post, and is best known for her satirical Twitter account, Honest Toddler, and her new novel, Confessions of a Domestic Failure. She's been interviewed by Oprah. She's been on TV. This was the woman who was sitting in the back. She wrote all these prayers, and if you read them, they are amazing prayers, but they're really coming from a soft heart, a very soft heart. And I'll leave this book here, and you can fight over it or lend it and pass it around, because the prayers are amazing. Okay? The prayers are amazing. This woman is amazing. I really pray that she will come back to us one day. Her history is an amazing history because she actually had no religion, got married and converted to becoming a Jew, learned everything about being a Jew, and then, unfortunately, her relationship split up and she became a Christian. She became a Christian, and from that, she wrote some of these prayers. One of the prayers she wrote, she says, dear God, why don't you do more miracles? Okay, maybe you do tons of miracles all the time, but why not flashy ones where you take the credit and sign God was here? I would do that, I think, so people would know. But I know you like to be subtle. Is it so that people have to look for you? That's what she writes. Is it so that people have to look for you? Anyway, I was reading that and it just came. She has it. She knows it. The miracle of salvation. The miracle of salvation. Call on the name of the Lord and receive a miracle. The miracle of salvation. I'd just like to close in prayer. Great God, by your great power, by your miracles, you have given us a new life. By your power, we are led. And by your power, you have given us a purpose. By your power, you have shown us love and how to love. By your power, you have changed our hearts. And by your power, you have given us peace. Thank you, great God, for the miracle of salvation. The miracle that is not flashy. The miracle that is not evident around the world. But it is the miracle that changes hearts. It's the miracle that brings you to us. It is the miracle that gives us eternal life. And that we are assured by it because we are sealed by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, great God. We praise you, God. Thank you for your miracles. In Jesus' name, amen.